I'd like to just share a few thoughts relating to the Rambam and Hilchos Chanukah this morning. Some of them more on the side of halacha, others perhaps more a combination of halacha and agada. If maybe we'll begin with the source number two here, which is actually the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah. The Rambam reviews the background, the historical background. He sketches for us of the story and the miracles of Chanukah. When the Greeks, when the Syrian Greeks ruled, Gazu Gzeres al Yisrael ubitlu dasam. They imposed very harsh decrees and were looking to uproot and to and to negate religious observance. They didn't let them be preoccupied to observe and learn Torah, fulfill mitzvahs. And they struck against their property, against their daughters, v'nichnasu lahecho v'potsu v'potsos v'timu ataros. That they entered the Beis HaMikdash, causing all kinds of breaches and defiling the Beis HaMikdash. V'tzav lehem yisrael me'od mebneihem. There was a tremendous distress, tremendous suffering. V'lochatzum lachatz gadol. The pressure was very great, was very intense. Hatshevichem aleihem alokei avoseinu. V'hoshia miyodim tel HaKadosh Baruch had compassion upon us. V'hitzilam v'govu b'nei chashmonai hakonim hagdolim v'hodum. Until ultimately the sons of the Chashmonaim prevailed, that they were able to kill the oppressors. V'hoshir Yisrael miyodim. V'amidu melech ben hakohanim v'chozu malchus l'Yisrael yesor masayim shon ad hachor ben hasheni. And they restored monarchy to the Jewish people for better than 200 years until the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Rav Zichron Levracha often commented that there's something in this description, in this outline of the story of Chanukah, which we would have expected to be here, that's missing. And that is that the Rambam has no mention of Tefillah. There's no mention that in this situation of acute sorrow, of distress, that Klal Yisrael called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was responding to Tefillah. The Rambam, again, he depicts the tzara, but he doesn't mention any tefillah. The Rav correlated this with a Ramban, the way he understood it. It's not really explicit in the Ramban, but the way he understood the Ramban, when the Torah in Parsha Shmos tells us, Vayhi vayomim harabim mahim, vayomis melech Mitzrayim, when Paro died, vayomchu v'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda vayizoku, v'nei Yisrael gave a krech, so they sighed, vayizoku, v'tal shavosam elo l'kim min ha'avoda. And their cry ascended, as it were, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sforno says this explicitly, and reading the Ramban a certain way, so that the Ramban suggests this as well, that the Vayizaku wasn't Zaoka as a form of Tshila. The Vayizaku was just a cry of pain, of anguish, of despair. An instinctive cry when it hurts, when a person is Rahman al-Atzlan in great pain, so a person cries. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, One manifestation of Rachmei Hashem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take that cry and respond to it as though it were tefillah. It wasn't intended, it wasn't offered as tefillah. It was just, again, a cry of anguish, Vayizaku, because of the overwhelming oppression, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to that tzara as though it were tefillah, and Rachmei Shamayim are forthcoming. And he said that what the Rambam is describing here is a similar progression. Okay. Yeah, the other comment which he would often make with regard to this halacha is that in contrast to the famous Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, where the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi indicts the Chashmonoim for having violated Savo'as Hazaken, for having violated the will of Yaakov Avinu in saying Lo Yoso Shevet Mehuda, that Melucha is the exclusive province of Shevet Yehuda, and then subsequently Dafka of Malchu of Zerah David, of the seed of David HaMelech, and the Ramban says that's why there are no descendants of the Chashmonaim left today, was because despite the fact that they were Chasidei Elyon in assuming kingship, they were violating Lo Yoso Shevet Mehuda. So the Rav used to say that the Rambam clearly is presenting this as a very positive accomplishment. The fact that Chazor Malchus LiYisrael is part of the happy ending to the story of Hanukkah. The question is what the Rambam's response is to the Ramban's indictment of the Chashmonaim. How would the Rambam defend them against it? So if you take a look in source number 3 for a minute, so the Rambam writes as follows. Navi Shehem Id Melech Mishor Shiftei Yisrael. If a Navi appoints a king from the other tribes of Bnei Yisrael other than Shevet Yehuda, and he is faithfully carrying out the responsibilities of Melucha. He has the status of Melech and all the mitzvahs pertaining to kingship are relevant. Even though, again, Malchus has been promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David, Shehavei Achiyah HaShiloni Hamid Yeravim Ve'omer Lo V'hoya Im Shamoa Tishma Eskol Asher Atzavcho Uvanisi Loch Bayis Neman Kasher Vanisi LeDavid. Because you see that we have precedent for this in Novi, that Melochim were appointed from other Shvatim. Rambam continues in Halacha Tes, Malchei Beis David Heim Ha'omdim La'olam. The only dynasty that can continue forever is that from the household of David HaMelech. Shenema Kisa Chayiya Nochon will be established ad olam. Avolim Yamud Melech Mishor Yisrael Tiposek HaMalchus MiBeiso. But if a Melech will be appointed, will assume the position from one of the other Shvatim, so even if he does everything right, so ultimately Tiposek HaMalchus MiBeiso, the line is going to end at a certain point. It can only be indefinite, it can only be open-ended if it's from Malchus Beis David. Tosfos in Gittin points out a fascinating Gemara in Masachas Nazir. The context of the Tosfos is commenting on the Gemara's discussion of Prusbel. So the Mishnah tells us that Hillel instituted Prusbel because he saw that those who were in a position to extend loans with the approach of Shemitah year, so they didn't want to extend the loans because then Shemitah would cancel the loan, Hashmatas Ksofim, and they were therefore guilty of violating a mitzvah lota, say, of Hishama Lecha Penyeh Dovam Levavcha Vliya Aleimu Korva Shnas Hashav Shnas Hashmita V'ro'a Eincha V'chicha Evyon. So Hillel, the Takan of Prusbel wasn't for the Aniyim, the Takan of Prusbel was for the Ashirim, it was to protect the Ashirim from violating this mitzvah lota, say. So Hillel introduced Prusbel, and through the mechanism of Prusbel, so then Shvius, then Shemitah year doesn't cancel loans. So then the Gemara says, how is that possible? The Torah says that Shemitah cancels debts, and Hillel comes and says it doesn't cancel debts. So how can you have a Din D'Rabbanan which overrides a Din D'Oraisa? So the Gemara answers, because we're talking about that Shvius bizman hazeh D'Rabbanan. that the takana of Tuzbol is effective because we're dealing with a time when Shvius is only midurabanan. So if Shvius is only midurabanan, so Hashmatas Ksafim, the fact that Shvius cancels loans is only midurabanan, so then you can have a takana durabanan which addresses that. Why is Shvius only midurabanan? Shvius is only midurabanan because Shvius is linked to Yovel. So Tosfos, unlike Rashi, say the following, that historically Yovel was operative during Bayis Sheni. In Hillel's lifetime, Hillel, the one who instituted Tuzbol, in his lifetime, Yovel was Noheg, Midaraisa, there was Shmita Midaraisa, there was Hashmatas Ksaf Midaraisa. Hillel's takana of Tuzbol was intended La'acha Achorban. So what kind of Moresh Chorinik was Hillel here? Everything is good. The Beis HaMikdash is standing and Hillel is making a takana for La'acha Achorban. So Tosfos quotes a Gemara Nazir, where the Gemara says that they knew the second Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. Chazal had a tradition. They knew that the second Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. Right? The Ramban writes in the Perush Al HaTorah that the two Tochuchas in Bechukosa and Kisavo, so one foreshadows Churban Bayis Rishon, the other foreshadows Churban Bayis Sheni. So Chazal knew. So Hillel was making a takana. The takana taka, according to this understanding of Tuzbol, could only be effective when Shmitas Ksafim is Midurabanan, which it wasn't in his day, because the Beis HaMikdash was standing and there was Yovel, but Hillel, as did the others of Chazal, knew that the second Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. It's an extraordinary thing to live with such an awareness. Be that as it may, so perhaps that's the pshat over here. Again, we asked, how is it that in contrast to the Ramban sees the restoration of Malchus through the Hashmonaim as something very positive? Why isn't he bothered with the Ramban's indictment that the Hashmonaim were violating Lo Yosef Shevet Miyehuda? So perhaps the explanation is as follows. Since the Hashmonaim knew full well that there was going to be a Churban, and that whatever they were doing, they had no pretense. They had no hopes that the Melucha that they were establishing was something that would continue indefinitely. They knew that it would continue. They hoped that maybe it would continue until the end of Bayis Sheni, but they certainly knew that it wouldn't go any further. They knew that it wouldn't be Nochon Ad Olam, and that wasn't that they weren't looking to establish such a dynasty. So Yitachin, that according to the Rambam, if a melech from Yisrael, under the circumstances, they probably felt that since they had that they were the leaders of the people, that the only ones who would be able to consolidate the rule and command the respect were themselves in terms of Malucha. So as long as it's not done with any pretense of Nachon Ad Olam, so then it's not a violation of Lo Yosef Shevet Miyehuda. Okay. Well, let's continue back in the second source with the second Halacha. Halacha Beis. Here too, as we read Rav Osai, you'll notice that, again, there's something missing in the Rambam, as it were. Mipnei zeh hiskinu chachamim, excuse me, halacha basic, shegavu Yisrael al oyeveihem v'ibdum, when Bnei Yisrael ultimately prevailed over their enemies and destroyed them, v'chamisha v'esrim b'chodesh kislev, it was the 25th of Kislev, v'nichnesu l'heichal, they entered the Beis HaMikdash, v'lamotzu shem and tov, v'mikdash al ha'pachecha, they found just one flask, one jug, or whatever, of oil, v'lohoyebo l'hadlak al yomechot b'lvad, it only had a quantity of oil to last one day, v'hidliku mimenu neros ha'marocha shvon ha'yamim, and then they lit for 8 days, ad shekotshu zeisim, until they were able to press olives, v'hotziyu shemen tohor. That's the Rambam's recapitulation of the miracle of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So now I'm going to just read the famous Reis in Megillas Tainis, which the Rambam is here reproducing. And maybe let's have a sort of at least mentally, a split screen, the Rambam's presentation of it on the one hand, alongside the Megillah's Tainis. My Chanukah, the Tana Rabbanim B'chofei B'Kislev, Yomei Chanukah T'manya Inyon, the 8 days of Chanukah begin on the 25th of Kislev, D'lo L'Misra, D'lo B'Hon, U'D'lo L'Hisanus B'Hon, not to eulogize, not too fast. Shekshanichnesu Yevonim L'Hechol Timu Kol Hashvanim, the Syrian Greeks had defiled all the oil shebehechal, uchegov malchus beis chashmanoi v'nutzchon, bodku v'lamotzu al pach echad shel shemen shehoyu mumnach b'chosoma shel kohen gadol. Again, they found this one intact, only one flask of oil. V'lahoyu bo al lahadlik yom echad. It only had enough oil for one day. Nasa bo neis v'hidliku mimenu shmana yomim. But a miracle happened, and they lit successfully for 8 days. So the Rambam edited out the phrase Nasa Bones. Chazal describe what we know, what gives Chanukah its character and its defining mitzvah was the Nesa of the menorah. Chazal clearly that they highlight it. It's in bold print here in the Megillah's Tainis, that Nasa Bo Neis, and the Rambam, for whatever reason, the Rambam hit the delete button, and he takes out that phrase of Nasa Bo Neis. The Rambam just very casually says, L'hoyu bo lahadlig ele yom echad bilvad, v'hidliku mimenu shmana yom. So why does the Rambam, and again, the Rambam would invite comment just on its own terms, mineyu vei, but certainly when you contrast it to the Bryce and Megillah's Tainis, where Chazal said the Nasa Bo Neis, so why does the Rambam omit that phrase? A friend of mine suggested the following. It's a beautiful idea, and the Rambam is looking. Rambam has an additional goal in mind besides the Megillah's Tainis. The Megillah's Tainis is just telling us the background of what happened. The Rambam is trying to call attention to something else, and that is when you write Nasa Bo Neis as part of the narrative. So the impression you have is that it was just so obvious and so self-evident, as though a bus call came out from Shemayim and said, look at the Neis unfolding in the Beis HaMikdash. And the headline on Yeshiva World News every hour was, Neis unfolding in Beis HaMikdash, and they had the update, 10 p.m., candle still going, and day one, day two, day three, candle still going. Miracle unfolding in Beis HaMikdash. That's when you read Nasa Bo Neis. Ram says there was no such bas kol. There was no such, there were no such constant updates. It happened, and Chazal had the sensitivity to recognize that it was a Neis. By omitting the phrase of Nasa Bo Neis from the narrative, so the Rambam says, this is what they were presented with. When you say Nasa Bo Neis, again, so when you read that in the Megillah's Tainis, so then you have the impression, well, it was so obvious that it was a Neis, and the only thing Chazal did is they then decided to introduce the Yom Tov of Chanukah to commemorate the Neis. And the Rambam says, no, leave out the phrase, and you'll realize that Chazal, again, had the sensitivity to appreciate and to recognize the Neis. You'll say, what sensitivity does it take? What to appreciate? Isn't it self-evident? So the truth is that yes, it is self-evident. And Me'idach Gisa, yes, it requires tremendous sensitivity. Case in point, how many of us have been sufficiently aware over the course of the past week and a half, of mamish nisim every minute, every hour that were happening in Eretz Yisrael? You take someone and you blindfold him, and you let him shoot thousands of rockets. I don't care how imprecise the rockets are. You can blindfold him, and have him shooting totally randomly. That there shouldn't have been, again, even one fatality is the destruction of the world. I don't mean Rahman al-Itslan to downplay four deaths. I don't mean Rahman al-Itslan to downplay anything. But Mamish, al nisacha shebuchol yom imanu. Mamish, it was nisim and aflaus. It's impossible to imagine. Again, they can be bad marksmen. The missiles maybe I don't know whether they're but it's impossible just shooting randomly. Rahman al-Itslan, this should have been horrific casualties, which didn't happen. And on those rare occasions when the missile landed in the middle of a street near a building, so it didn't explode. And even the Russia who threw the bombs into the bus in Tel Aviv, he threw two bombs, and one didn't detonate. So isn't it self-evident? Yeah, it's self-evident. On the other hand, it still needed Chazal to recognize. Mustama, one could have come up with some theory as to why the rate of combustion was slowed down in the Beis HaMikdash for the course of that week, and one could have interpreted it differently. And that's what the Rambam, he omits the phrase Nasir v'Nais. There wasn't a bas kol, and it wasn't announced. The Chazal had the sensitivity to recognize it as such. It's interesting, if you take a look here in source number one, in the top of the page here, as I'll say. So in Perek Dal Halacha Yud Beis, Mitzvah Nachanaka, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Me'od. It's a mitzvah which is especially dear. A person has to be very, very scrupulous about fulfilling the mitzvah of Chanukah, to make the miracle known, and to add praise and thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu al hanisim she'asa lanu, for the miracles that he has performed for us. And the Rambam tells us that the application of this, that Rahman al-Itslan, even if a person doesn't have the money to buy a Chanukah, the oil and wick for Chanukah, so he would have to ask from Tzedakah Rahman al-Itslan, or even sell the shirt off his back. But there is a very, very interesting lack of symmetry here. The Rambam begins by saying that Mitzvah Nechanukah is Lahodiah Hanes, right, in the singular, Lashon Yochid. And then the Rambam continues, Lahosif Bishvach HaKel Vahodoya Lo Al Hanisim She'asalanu. And then the Rambam switches from the Lashon Yochid to the Lashon Rabim. So I don't know whether what we're about to discuss, whether it's Pshat or Drush, you're talking that it's even Pshat, but HaBocha Yivchar, is that Mitzvah Nechanukah is Lahodiah Hanes. It's to recognize the miracle of Nechanukah. But the whole point of recognizing the Nes of Nechanukah is to sensitize a person to the Nisim that surround us and envelop us and have been omnipresent throughout our history. Hence the Rambam says, Mitzvah Nechanukah is Lahodiah Hanes. But then, sensitized by Mitzvah Nechanukah, a person should then be moved lahosif b'shvach hakel v'hodoya lo al hanisim she'asa lanu. And perhaps that's the reason for the Minhag Yisrael of Moaz Tzur, after singing Moaz Tzur, after lighting Nechanukah, we could have sung Moaz Tzur at the Seder, we could have sung Moaz Tzur at the Purim Suda. It's equally... They get equal time. The Seder and Purim get equal time in Moaz Tzur, just as much as Chanukah does. So maybe that reflects this idea of Kedei Lahodiah Hanes, but then sensitized by the mitzvah of Nechanukah, there was no bas kol. It was just Hidliku Mimenu Shmona Yomim. And Chazal recognized, and we're reliving that by being Modiah Hanes, Lahosev Beshvach HaKel V'Hodoyolo Al Hanisim She'asalanu. Let's continue perhaps in the second source, Halacha Gimel, back to Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel here. Nei zeh hiskinu chachamim shebe'osu hador. Because of this background, because of what the Rambam has just sketched for us here, the Chachamim in that generation introduced Shiyushmanus Hayomim Ha'ilu, that these 8 days Shetchilasen Milel Chamishasa Ve'esrim B'Kislev Yimei Simcha V'Halel U'Madlikin Bahen Haneros Bo'erev Al Pischei Habatim B'Chol Laila V'Laila Mishmanus Halelos. So the days of Simcha, rejoicing, Halel, and of Hadlokas Neiros. V'yamim elu hena nikra an Chanukah, v'hena asurim behesved v'taynis kimei apurim, v'hadlokas neiros ben mitzvah midim v'esofim kikriyas ha-megillah. Something very interesting, which is here indicated in the Rambam style of presentation. To begin with, it's generally we correctly, according to most understandings, contrast the Rambam's depiction of the Yom Tov of Chanukah with that of the Maharam. The Torah in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, of course, quotes the Maharam, who says that all the Chanukah parties are just sudas rishos, because lahalal v'hodah niskenu v'lo l'simcha. That there is no mitzvah simcha on Chanukah, and therefore the Chanukah parties are just rishus. And the Rambam here certainly does mention simcha as one of the aspects of Chanukah. The Kuntos Chanukah of Megillah says that the Velvel understood that Yimei Simcha in the Rambam means Yimei Simcha in the sense of Yomim Tovim of Megillah's Tainus. That the Yomim Tovim of Megillah's Tainus, Megillah's Tainus had a list of many, many Yomim Tovim which were observed Yimei Bayis Sheni. Amongst them, the Megillah's Tainus talks about Chanukah and Purim as well. Then the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that with the Churban Bayis Sheni, so the only thing that remained from the Yomim Tovim of Megillah's Tainus were Chanukah and Purim. But all the other minor Yomim Tovim, so those were batel. So Chanukah is a Yom Tov from Megillah's Tainus. So what it means to be a Yom Tov in Megillah's Tainus, or Velvel says, is only in a passive sense. It only means that there's an Isser Hesped V'Tainus. So he understood that Yimei Simcha in the Rambam didn't mean that there's any mitzvah to proactively be Sameach on Chanukah, but just that there is an Isser Hesped V'Tainus. So according to that reading of the Rambam, the truth is there isn't any difference really between the Rambam and the Maharam in terms of whether or not there's any mitzvah simcha on Chanukah. More conventionally, the Rambam is understood as meaning simcha in a proactive sense. But even so, there's a very interesting nuance here in the Rambam. Again, let's reread it, Rabbi Osai, and with the following observation. Okay, fast forward to the end of the halacha. Hadlakas haneros b'hen mitzvah midiveisel from kikriyas ha-megillah. So apparently that wasn't yet clear to us, right? When the Rambam said that hiskinu chachamim, that these are Yimei Simcha V'Halal and Madlikin Bahana Neros, so the Rambam feels that unless he clarifies, unless he reinforces at the end of the halacha that Hadlokas Neros is again an absolute categorical chiyuv, it wasn't yet clear. So apparently, when the Rambam said that the original takana is Yimei Simcha V'Halal U'Madlikin B'Hen Neiros, none of that reflects that there's a Chiyuv. And hence the Rambam says, well, let me come back and add that Hadlokas Neiros, it's not only that it's a time, that it's Yomim for Simcha Halal and Hadlokas Neiros, but Hadlokas Neiros is an absolute Chiyuv. He does the same in Halacha Hei for Kriyas HaHalal. He tells us that Kriyas HaHalal is also, again, unequivocally a mitzvah midivei sofim. He never comes back, as far as I know, to simcha. He never reinforces what he said initially about simcha. So the truth is that what the Rambam really is mashma kemedume is that Chazal, even if one doesn't say like Revel's reading of the Rambam, is that Chazal introduced that the days of Chanukah are Yemei Simcha, it's a time of Simcha. But Lav Dafka, that means that there's an absolute Chiyuv, again, to engage in those expressions of Simcha. Yitachain, that there would be a Kiyum in doing so, but Lav Dafka, there's a Chiyuv. Just to sort of reinforce and sharpen the point, if you look at the formulation here, and you contrast it with how the Rambam writes the mitzvah simcha on the yomim tovim. So the Rambam writes as follows. In Paragvav, I'm sorry, you don't have this in front of you. In Paragvav of Hilchos Yom Tov, the Rambam writes as follows. Shivas yimei ha-Pesach u'shmonis yimei ha-Chag im sh'o yomim tovim. Kulam asurim behesped v'taynis. And then the Rambam writes, Chayav Adam, v'chayav Adam, lios bohen sameach v'tov leiv, hu ubana v'ishto ubnei beso, etc. So here the Rambam says, the 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Sukkot, etc. Chayav Adam, lios bohen sameach. So what the Rambam should have said is that bimei ha-Chanukah ha-Elu, chayavim l'smoach l'halel u'l'hadlik nairos. So apparently the original takana the Rambam is telling about is that Chazal introduced that the 8 days of Chanukah are a time of Simcha. Now, a time of Simcha, a time of Halal, a time of Hadlokas Neiros. Of those three, the Rambam subsequently tells us that Halal and Hadlokas Neiros is a Chiyuv, is a Mitzvah. He never says it by Chanukah. So l'chora, the difference that remains between the Rambam and the Maharam is not as dramatic. Maharam says the whole thing is Rishus. The Seudas Shaosim is Rishus. The Rambam, l'chora, it's not that the Rambam is at the other end of the spectrum and thinks that there's an obligation to do so. The Rambam would hold. Again, it's a time for Simcha. So if tonight I have Bos of Ayayi and I have meat and wine or some other manifestation of Simcha, so that's it's purely neutral. There's no positive religious value to it. There's no kiyum associated with it. Masha en kein on Chanukah, because there you may simcha, so then arguably there would be some kiyum associated with it.
It seems to me what you just said before, the Rabbanan Chazal recognized the sensitivity to the symbol. It appears that it's implying that the people may not have recognized the miracle as much, perhaps similar to what happened today that you said in Eretz Israel. In other words, well, if it is, they didn't know what we're doing, so there is no recognition of the nace by most people, perhaps, I'm not saying it is. And it's only the Chachamim today, the Purim Olam, or part of the Purim Olam, that recognize, as you mentioned before, Nisim and Nivlaos, because of all those things randomly going out and not killing as many as they theoretically could have. So it's basically, it's up to us to recognize it. Maybe that's the difference of the Simcha, a similar to Hanukkah, perhaps, as you're implying, that the Chachamim had to have the sensitivity to recognize it. You may Simcha. And the people perhaps didn't. They put maybe it was quite to be asked me, I don't know. Similar to what happened today, what happened this past week. Similarity that if we don't recognize it in this flow, only minority recognize it. And the others who don't, perhaps the same equivalent back then in the time of Hanukkah.
So thank you for the question. I didn't mean to imply, I mean, who recognized and who didn't recognize Bimei Chazal? I mean, it was happening in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not, you know, how many people were actually eyewitnesses to it. I didn't mean to imply that Chazal recognized, others didn't. I don't know on what scale it was recognized or not. So I didn't mean to imply that. And in terms of today, you know, how many of us was the royal first person, and the indictment for not appreciating the Nisim was only intended for myself. It wasn't intended for anyone else. Chas v'shalom. I'm not in a position to know or anything beyond that.
Factually, though, there's something else going on here, and perhaps that explains the focus on the miracle of the Hanukkah, because other than that miracle, it was a civil war. It was Jew versus Jew. There wasn't much to celebrate. The Hashbanayim killed the Kohen Gadol and a bunch of Kohanim who were Hellenizers. There was a terrible massacre of Jews, and that's not something to celebrate. And that, hence, I think the refocusing from the overcoming of Hellenizers on something else, because they don't celebrate killing each other. I mean, look at the text of the Rambam himself. When he talks about killing, it's Jew versus Jew.
Where is that?
The language is V'gavu b'nei chashmonai hakonim hagdolim v'hargam. Who'd they kill? It was D.E.
Where do you see that?
Where's
the antecedent?
The chashmonim were not the kohanim hagdolim. They overcame the kohanim hagdolim.
No.
Roshi Yisro Miyadam.
No.
You have two statements. The first statement is about the Goyim. Right? The Lachatzam Lachatz Gadol. It was never a question of extermination. It was they were trying to make us into Goyim. Right? But the second part talks about the Gavu B'nei Chashmonai. We know we're not calling the Goyim.
The Meim Atisiel Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Uvanav.
There's an argument. The argument is the Chashmonai, the first sin they made was to become Kohen Gadol when they weren't from the right family.
Okay.
So they committed a lot of sins before Malchus. And they did kill fellow Jews.
Okay.
That was the problem.
I find that I have a full-time job keeping track of my own sins. I can't really go around cataloging other people's sins, and certainly not those of the Chashmonaim, whom the Ramban describes as Hasidei Elyon. I'm not in a position to be able to discern.
We're not talking about what they did was right.
Just in terms of,
it's not something to celebrate.
Okay,
celebrate killing Jews.
Okay. In terms of just in terms of Hebrew language, when the object of Gavu, if Kohanim Gedolim were intended as the object of Gavu, it's lehitgaber al. It's quite clear.
But factually, they weren't the Kohanim Gedolim, the Bnei Chashmonai.
It's quite clear that what the words in the Rambam read, what they mean, when translated accurately from Lashon HaKodesh into English, the translation is that Gavu Bnei Chashmonai Kohanim Hagedolim, the Chashmonaim, comma, apposition, Kohanim Gedolim, comma, Gavu prevailed, and Horgun, them, those whom the Rambam has been talking about, who were the subject, who the only antecedent on the horizon, on the radar screen here. Kishamolchu Yavan Gozru, who are they? Molchu Yavan Gozru, Ubit Ludasam, who.
Okay. It's not so clear.
It all depends on
and
one's lenses.
That's what happened, right? You know, factually, it was Yid versus Yid.
There's going to be another mahalak in some of the questions you asked. Why did I leave out the crisis point about being a nice brother? Also, the pattern of the first loving days in their Galilee. That is, there's a dichotomy in the Shabbat in terms of the Alephus Nero and the Milchama. What were Chazal sensitive to? Not just general Nisim, what Ramban says, everything in life is a Nis. The fact that the Noros they lived for 8 days. Testified to the battle.
Maharal says, and I don't remember whether he says this also, could be he adds this point also, I don't remember, and that's why there was a certain symmetry, as it were, of Rabban Be'ad Ma'atim Tmeim Be'ad Tahorim, and the Pachechot Shel Shemen is one little one, Ma'at and Tahor, that the miracle of the menorah was intended, as it were, as a commentary, as a perspective on what had happened on the battlefield.
Maybe yeah. Explain another point. The Rambam says that the Moshiach, the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Moshiach then, and then the Rambam states that the that the Maccabees fought against their enemies and won. What does it mean that a Kodesh Baruch Hu Hoshiyah first, and then the Yibonim won? So it's saying that once a Kodesh Baruch Hu made the decision, and even a small band of Maccabees could defeat the greatest military empire of the time. Like the statement of Karina Mendoza, that it's not oil that lights, or it's whatever comes apart from us.
Maybe we'll just conclude with one or two quick questions. It's beginning to get late. The Kuntus Chanukah Megillah has a very beautiful idea he presents as to, again, why Chazal chose, again, focused on the nace of the Neros to give the Chanukah its character. So again, what the Maharal says is one beautiful explanation. He suggests the following. Actually, among other things, he ties it in with Parshas HaShavua. So Yaakov Avinu has a dream. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him in the dream? Hinei anochi imalchu shmatichu b'chol asher teilech v'ashivosicha l'adom azos ki lo azovcha ad asher masisi eis asher dibarti lach. Okay. If I had that dream, I woke up in the morning and I remember the dream. So what would my reaction be? I'd be euphoric. I went to sleep running away from my twin brother, who's doing his best to try to kill me. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised me not only that I'm gonna be safe from Esav HaRosha, but such a brilliant future. What's Yaakov Avinu's reaction? So Vayikad Yaakov Mishasa, Vayoma Ochen Yesh Hashem Bamokum Hazeh Vanochi Lo Yodoti Vayiva Vayoma Manova Hamokum Hazeh. Rashi elaborates from Chazal that what's Yaakov's reaction? Gewalt. This is a place of the Shechina. I shouldn't have slept here. So Kuntos Chanukah, he says so beautifully. He says, for Yaakov Avinu, he says, all the Haftacha, he says, it wasn't worth it. He wouldn't have knowingly trespassed on a din of Mora Mikdash. He says, even if in so doing he would be able to receive all these incredible Haftachas, all these incredible guarantees about the future. But Yaakov Avinu says, but not at the expense of doing Ritzon Hashem. Amazing, amazing. It says the same thing with Tamar. Why was Tamar so determined to have children from Yehuda? She knew, she understood, she sensed Beruach HaKodesh that Malchus Beis David was supposed to come from that union. And nevertheless, when it's a choice between being malvin pnei chaver baravim and between making that destiny happen, so she's ready. Mutav shiyapel atzmo odam atzmo bekivshon shaleish bal yalvin pnei chaver baravim, but not at the expense of trespassing on a halach on Ritzon Hashem. Says the Kuntos Chanukah in Megillah. He says that. He says, yes, the being saved in the war, in the revolt, was incredible. But the real simcha is the culmination that it allowed the Hashmonaim to come back to the Beis HaMikdash and to be Mekayim Mitzvahs. And that's what Chazal, that's the message which Chazal are sending when Chazal focus on the nace of the menorah. There is in the association a similar idea, I think quoted from the Yitzchak Elchanan on the brach of Hamav Yishena Me'eino Yisnuma Me'af Apoi. So there's usually when you have a brach Arukah, there's a certain thematic continuity, a certain thematic development. Here it seems to be a total non sequitur. We're thanking Hashem for keeping us alive. That a person is asleep, so he's again echad mishishim of Misa, and now we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for restoring us to life. And then, so how does the bracha continue? Chetagileinu b'sarasecha, v'dabkeinu b'mitzvasecha, etc. So how does that? So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan says, no, we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to wake up to real life. We don't want to wake up just to some physical, vegetative existence. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for restoring us to life, bringing us back to life. So then there's no gap here. There is that thematic continuity. Shetagileinu b'sarasecha, v'dabkeinu b'mitzvasecha. One last thought. This is at best a kernel of a thought. Needs to be developed. Take a look in the first source, the very last halacha here. Rabbi will say. So if a person only has enough money, he can either have a candle inside the house to bench licht for Shabbos on the Friday night of Chanukah, or he can have a candle outside the house where Medina de Gemara one lights in Chanukah. That's the way the Rambam presents it, the Dina de Gemara. Or a person can have a candle outside the house for Ner Chanukah, or lav dafka that's Friday night of Chanukah, a different Friday night. And again, Rachmana Litzlan, a person is so pressed on Ner Beso, the Kiddush Hayom, he can choose between buying wine for Kiddush or to have a Ner in the house. So then the Gemara in Shabbos, the Rambam quotes, says that Ner Beso kodim mishum Shalom Beso, because of Shalom Bayis, better to allocate the money to the Shabbos lift. Shaharei Hashem nimchak laso shalom in ish le'ishto. And then the Rambam continues, as he sometimes allows himself to conclude either a sefer in the Yada Hazaka or a set of halachos with a little bit of divrei agoda. Godol hashalom shekol haTorah nitna laso shalom ba'olam shenema drachehu darchei noam v'chol nesivoseho shalom. This is the Gemara in Gittin makes such a statement at the end of the fifth parak, also associating it with this pasuk, that all of Torah is to lead to the result of shalom. So what does that mean? It's a very beautiful idea and sentiment, but what does it mean? All of Torah is for shalom. So l'chora, again, this is tain l'chochem v'yachkamod, l'chora as follows. That there is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, a very well-known Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara is interpreting the Psukim in Zechariah. Zechariah Hanovi asked, during Bayis Shemi, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu whether or not the Taniyos, the Tanesim, which commemorated Churban Bayis Rishon, should be observed during Bayis Shemi. And the Psukim are not clear. So the Gemara explains that what the Psukim mean is that Yesh Shalom, at a time when the shalom ba'olam, so then yil asasar on the simcha. So then Tisha B'av, Shavasa B'tamuz, Asar B'tavis, those taniyos become yom tovim. If there's gzeres ha-malchus, rachman al-etzlan, so then they're tzom. And if it's neither shalom nor gzeres ha-malchus, so the Gemara says, ratzu mesanin, ratzu ein mesanin, in theory, it would be optional. Okay, fine. So what about Lamaisa? So after that sort of elaborate answer, Lamaisa, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu via telling Zechariah Novi? What was the din during Bayis Sheni? You were supposed to fast or you were not supposed to fast. So the simple pshat would seem to be, and this is the way the Ramban has it, is that Bayis Sheni is Yesh Shalom. So during Bayis Sheni, so Tisha B'Av was a Yom Tov. The Rambam writes in Perush Mishnayos that during Bayis Sheni, that Bayis Sheni was not classified as Yesh Shalom. That Bayis Sheni was Ein Shalom, the Ein Gzeres HaMalchus. And then, as the Gemara mentions, I forgot to mention this, that on Tisha B'Av, since Huch V'Lubo Atzoros, so then you should fast. According to the Rambam, they used to sit on the ground during Bayis Sheni, and they used to observe Tisha B'Av, and they used to fast for Churban Bayis Rishon. Why? Because even though the Navi said Yesh Shalom, so it should be the Sasan and the Simcha, the May Bayis Sheni wasn't Shalom. What do you mean it wasn't Shalom? So the Pashtus is that you see that Shalom, again, no Dvarim Chudashim here, that Shalom, again, in its more common understanding and usage, it means peace. But obviously, the Sharish of Shalem, it means completeness, it means wholesomeness, it means perfection. And L'chorah, when the Gemara say that when the Pasuk says V'chol Nesivoseh Shalom, it doesn't mean Shalom, even though that's the Rambam's point of departure for quoting the Gemara. It doesn't mean Shalom only in its narrower sense of peace, of understood politically, geopolitically. No, but it rather means Shalom, again, the same way the Rambam says in Bayis Sheni, it wasn't Shalom, because Shalom, peace is part of a larger package, again, of wholesomeness, of completion, of perfection, of things being as they should be. Part of things being as they should be is Shalom in its narrower understanding as well. And Yitachen, that the Agadic finale here in the Rambam, that Gemara and Gitin, is going beyond what Shalom means in its narrower sense of Shalom meaning peace, but rather as the Rambam there in the Parish of Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah understands it, in the sense of completion, of wholesomeness, of perfection. Oh, that's the case. Thank you. Shalom, all of Torah is geared towards that. Thank you very much.